Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey went to the White House today for President Obama's announcement about new executive actions designed to close the gender pay gap. Here's the president.
We are proposing to collect and report pay data by race, ethnicity, and gender from businesses with 100 employees or more. And the goal is to help businesses that are trying to do the right thing, like the ones here today, to get a clear picture of how they can ensure their employees are being treated equally. A better picture of the data will also help us do a better job enforcing existing equal pay laws.
On Beacon Hill yesterday, the state Senate unanimously approved a bill to strengthen the Massachusetts equal pay laws, which are the first in the nation. And this issue of gender inequality and global inequality is one that's near and dear to Madeleine Albright. She served in the Clinton administration as the first woman to become Secretary of State, and she joins us now from Wellesley College, where she'll be speaking about this weekend. Secretary Albright, welcome to Radio Boston.
Great to be with you. Thank you so much.
I'm wondering what you think of, at least what you may know, about President Obama's announcement today that he's taking new executive actions that are designed to close the gender pay gap and collecting data from larger businesses to see exactly what's going on.
I think it's terrific, and I'm very proud of the president for doing that because it is one of the major aspects of inequality, the fact that women are not paid what men have been paid. And he has been talking about it a lot, so has Secretary Clinton. And I think it's something that we're talking about here over the weekend at Wellesley. The whole subject is about inequality, and obviously the inequality between men and women is one of the basic problems here. So I think it's very germane. It wasn't planned this way that he would give this announcement just as we're about to have this symposium, but it's terrific.
Well, I guess it seems like this has been going on for so long. Why has it taken so long for the needle to move on this issue of gender pay equity?
You know, the truth is I cannot figure out why, because it is so basic in terms of how men and women are treated differently. And it's now, you know, if we keep going on the curve that we've had so far, it'll take more than 100 years to have women and men earning the same amount of money. And so I do think taking executive action on this is very important. And I think that it will take this kind of a push from the President of the United States and those of us who support it to make sure that this happens.
Well, you know, we have another clip from the president today at the White House. He agrees. He says this could take a long time. Let's listen to what he had to say.
This will be a long haul. You know, one of the things that I am consistently reminding young people when they're working here in the White House is that social change never happens overnight. It is a slog, and there are times where you just have to chip away and chip away, and then suddenly there may be some breakthroughs. But it's reliant on all of us to keep pushing that boulder up the hill.
Secretary Albright, what I'm wondering here is I wonder if there's any connection between maybe younger women sort of getting involved sooner and realizing the extent of the gender pay gap. Do you think that would speed things up a little bit?
I think it definitely would. I do think that one of the issues is that some of the younger women have not really understood how hard it has been for some of us older women to make breakthroughs. And a lot of things are taken for granted. And what I love about being out here at Wellesley is that we are talking about all of these issues, and the young women that are here understand that they have a role to play, which is to actively pursue change in societies that allow women to be treated equally, gender equity in so many different ways. So, yes, I do think it's very important.
Let's talk a little bit more about this weekend at Wellesley. Among the other speakers with you is Christine Lagarde, Managing Director of the International Monetary Fund. And she wrote an op-ed in the Globe yesterday arguing that eliminating gender pay gaps can boost GDP, she says, by 5% in the U.S. Do you know about that? How might that work?
Well, I think part of the issue here that people don't seem to understand that Having gender equity is something that helps societies all over the world. And since many countries, more than half of the people are women, that it really does change in terms of when women are economically and politically empowered, societies are more stable and the GDP grows. So, yes, it makes absolute sense. And she would know. She's terrific. I'm really looking forward to having her here with us.
What do you plan to focus on this weekend?
Well, I am going to be talking generally about inequality in a number of different areas, kind of pulling together what we've been talking about here. We had a meeting last weekend when I came back to Wellesley when the current group of Albright Fellows was meeting, and they were looking at the Sustainable Development Goals and looking at issues that had to do with what creates inequality, hunger, health, education, lack of pay equity, a variety of problems that are out there internationally, and what can be done in a way that women can contribute, and also the different disciplines. You know, part of the thing that happens is often people are either political scientists or natural scientists, and what we've really done is put people together so that those that understand what creates climate change and what makes it possible to have new crops, how that goes together with political governance. So I'm going to be touching a little bit on everything and doing what I love to do, which is to connect the dots.
Mm. I just want to shift gears a little bit and talk about Iran, because obviously there's been a lot of news from Iran and about Iran. And, of course, this was an issue for you when you served as Secretary of State. But I want to bring up a case that's local to us here in Massachusetts. Yesterday on our show here on Radio Boston, we spoke with Matthew Trevithick. Now, he's a man from Massachusetts who was detained in Iran for 41 days. He said he spent most of that time in solitary confinement, didn't know what he was charged with, didn't know when he was getting out. And he returned home about 11 days ago. And this is one of the things that he told us yesterday. Let's listen.
One of the best things is that the U.S. government just devotes enormous resources to getting people home. And knowing that in a very abstract way while you're in this experience, you know, even if each day is very difficult, you know just how hard a lot of people are working to get you home. That helps.
Mm. Now, former Secretary Albright, we've heard from the State Department that Secretary of State Kerry's direct connection with Iranian officials played a big role in Trevithick's release. And I'm wondering if you could tell us, what's it like when there might be negotiations like this going on? And how difficult is it to make those personal connections that might make negotiations like this possible?
Well, first, let me say I've heard Matthew now a couple of times, seen him on TV. He is a most articulate and wonderful representative of young American students and why he was there. So I'd love to meet him. I thought he's just been terrific. I do think the personal relationships make a big difference. And when you see the same kind of foreign ministers at various meetings, you might not agree every day on everything, but having that personal relationship makes all the difference. And Secretary Kerry has done a great job in terms of getting to know Foreign Minister Zarif, the Iranian, who, by the way, has an American education. He went to the University of Denver, where he got his PhD, and just accidentally, the school now is named in honor of my father. So, but I do think that that relationship is very important. It enables you to pick up the phone or meet, as we say, on the margins of an important meeting and say, this is really has to be done. So I think that personal relationship, and Secretary Kerry has been remarkable in building that relationship.
One of the things he told us, though, was that people would be surprised if they knew how many North Americans and Europeans are being held in prison in Iran, detained on charges that they don't even understand and they don't know why they're there, and undergo similar experiences to his, which basically was that the Iranian officials were trying to get him to go on television and say that he was plotting an overthrow of the country. Is that similar to what happened when you were Secretary of State?
Well, I didn't have exactly this kind of an issue. I mean, what one does try to do as Secretary of State is to work on behalf of American citizens that are in trouble abroad in some form or another. And you definitely use the diplomats that you have on the ground. Part of the issue in Iran is we don't have an embassy there. And so how important it is to have diplomatic relations with countries in order to be able to help those that are stuck, having been seized for no good reason. I think it's also another reason that it is so important to have access to justice in countries, which, by the way, is another one of the themes that we're talking about here in the symposium this weekend, in terms of inequality is created when poor people or foreigners or those that are being suspected of something do not have access to justice. And that's why all these issues go together. But the personal relationships are important, for sure.
Now, you've been out on the stump for Hillary Clinton, who was Secretary of State after you were. I saw an article in Bloomberg that said you had been working with Clinton as sort of a shadow foreign policy team, that you're one of her advisors. What's your role been in the Clinton campaign?
Well, I have been a very good friend of hers for a long time. By the way, she also went to Wellesley, so I know where she got her study habits. We got to know each other very well in the course of my time being at the UN and then as Secretary of State. And I have been in touch with her all along, and I have been to Iowa. I was there a couple of times, and I'm on my way to New Hampshire in next week. And so I am very honored to be asked to work on her behalf, because I can honestly tell you there is nobody that is better prepared to be president of the United States than Hillary Clinton. She's got the background, and so I'm happy to help.
And you are helping her in terms of working as a foreign policy advisor with her.
I am, kind of, when asked, I do whatever I'm asked.
All right. Madeleine Albright was U.S. Secretary of State in the Clinton administration. She now chairs the global strategy consulting firm Albright Stonebridge Group, and she'll be speaking at Wellesley College this Sunday. There's more information about that event on our website, which is radioboston.org. Secretary Albright, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You too. Stay with us. Coming up, the Roxbury artist who brings civil rights leader Fannie Lou Hamer to life in an award-winning new book. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.